Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
From Royal Ascot. Live from the Royal Procession. No, actually. We're not live from the Royal Procession. We're live from... We're live from Greenwich and pretend that we're... that we're close. That's not going to work either. A very good Tuesday. Royal Ascot is here, and it's going to be a fun morning with... in a lot of ways, the biggest, there's individual big races every day, but with three group ones, between now and 11:20-ish, things will get rolling, and they'll get rolling here at the bottom of the hour. The Queen Anne starts things off, and actually it's a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile. So. Let me get the formalities out of the way. Series 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. It's also, don't want to lose sight, it's also opening day at Fort Erie. They got a big card, actually. They got a 12-race card, including a couple of $30,000 stakes, male and female sprint, the summer. Summer Cups, and their action starts. It's going to be kind of loose and free here today, to be honest, and we're going to reach out and bring in some people, I think, kind of free form the Royal Ascot coverage. If you were listening to the replay, of course, in the last 90 minutes, you had Nick Lux preview, as well as long shot lad Kev Humphreys. And I put the full Kev Humphreys write up out on Twitter. And if you haven't seen it, it's there on the feed. I'm going to probably retweet it here in a couple of minutes once we get a look at the Queen Anne numbers and get a feel for just how short a price the favorite is going to be, and that, you know, Palace Pier about an hour ago, I think, was 1-9. For those that are curious too, the Hong Kong is hosting the pool, so it's the international pools, and wow, Palace Pier is still 1-9. How about that? And I thought maybe, you know, would trickle up a little bit. Everybody I'm seeing, I mean, everybody is respectful of the favorite, but everybody is trying to take some chances with horses like Lope Fernandez, 20-1. Order of Australia is 9-1. Kev, of the two Breeders' Cup, the winner, obviously, Order of Australia, and the show pony, Lope E. Fernandez. Kev preferred Lope E. Fernandez and also has an interest in Pogo, the 7, Pogo for Charlie Hills, with that Kieran Schumark. 74-1 right now. Interesting. Lord Glitters, 28-1. Pretty wild. How old is he now? 8 years old. Been around. Got some interesting information, too, from irishracing.com. They had an early morning missive about market movers, who's going down, and they mentioned, you know, Palace Pier proving very strong. Coffee Maker in the Coventry, first of the U.S.-based runners. Wesley Ward sends the filly out in the Coventry. Irish Racing making note that Berkshire Shadow was taking money and had dropped from 14 to 1 to 10 to 1. And, you know, if you look at Odds Checker, and, you know, when you go to oddschecker.com, and I should put that link up. That's one thing I forgot to do so far this morning. I've been up since I woke up in the middle of the night. And one thing, I'll put the Odds Checker out for everybody. And it's a good place to, you know, to kind of get a range of the prices. Now, the one thing that's different this year with the international pool, it's going to be interesting to see if the odds that we're getting are going to be more in line. There, you know, one of my, not even a trick, it would just be something that I, you know, kind of used as a hedge or a you know, kind of a barter was, not a barter, what's the word I'm looking for? I would look at the Odds Checker, you know, what the prices are trading in the bookie shops versus the pools that we had at the time, and there would be big disparities. And you know, more or less, I would, you know, take some flyers on horses who were overlaid in the pool that we were getting. Now with these, you know, this international commingled situation, there might not be those kinds of spreads. So we'll be interested to see. Batash taking tons of money. I'll tell you who's a mojo horse, and I put it on Derby Trail, and I should move it over as well to Twitter. You know, Dick Powell promised us a play or two each day. His nap of the day, Chindit, who Kev also had an interest in, and frankly, I've seen a bunch of people have interest in the St. James Palace. Now we're gonna bring in about 10 minutes, we're gonna bring in Vance Hansen. We'll get Vance's overview on the week. He's sort of wading into the action a little bit. He's got one price play today in the St. James Palace. I'll let him unveil it. It's a horse I haven't seen too many other people mention. That's Vance's specialty. And he's got one for Wednesday, and then he'll be back with us on Wednesday to look at Thursday and Friday, which is the days he's kind of focusing on and doing the deep dive for Thursday and Friday. So this will work out great because Kev can't join us again until Thursday, and he'll have Thursday, Friday, Saturday conversation with Kev Humphreys on Thursday. So Vance Hansen helping us as well, and also hoping that, well, I know Dick obviously Thursday we'll talk to, and I'll probably get Pete in tomorrow. Pete loves Ascot, and reached out to Marcus Hirsch too. Marcus providing a lot of the coverage in the forum. I probably should reach for Steve Anderson and see what Steve is excited about. So the four we can bring you this morning: the Queen Anne at 9:30, the Coventry at 10:05, the King Stand, the Sprint, where North America particularly well represented, and with Extravagant Kid, and also with Wesley. And the St. James Palace at the King Stand is at 10:40, and the St. James Palace, the last group one of the day, at 11:20. And then after we get off the air, right as we get off the air, always, there's always one at noon. And today, that Ascot Stake, the 2.5 mile handicap. Then there's the Wolferton and the Copper Horse, where Kev has got one of his strongest opinions of the day and also has some affection for Nick Luck's play of the day, which was Sleeping Lion. So looking forward to it. This is going to be a lot of fun. And for those that are, you know, basically going to root, not only do you get to root, you know, obviously for Wesley and Rusty Arnold involved, which is kind of cool, that Rusty shows up, Artos in the Queen Mary tomorrow, and Extravagant Kid today. And I did hear our friend Nick Hahn down in Virginia. Nick, let me know that David Ross did get over. Over to see Extravagant Kid. And so he's globetrotting right along with his charge. So kind of cool that David's over there. And Extravagant Kid and Maven in the King Stand. And makes me smile. Speaking of Mavens, should really check with Dave Goodfriend, the original Maven, the king of all Mavens, the Maven of all Mavens. Because he was over there for a while. He lived, right? He lived in London, I think, several years, and then came back. Wednesday, Wesley's got Twilight Gleaming in the Queen Mary, as well as Rusty with Artos, and then Ruthen in the Windsor Castle, Golden Bell. Still not determined, Windsor Castle or Albany. Maybe he made a decision yesterday, and I haven't seen it. Lucci and Nakatomi in the Norfolk on Thursday, and the wonderful Campanelle in the Commonwealth Cup. So there's your North American interests as things move closer. 18 minutes to the first, and I should slap on the coverage. I'm taking the Ascot feed, and the one problem with the UK feed, TVG is covering, as Nick told you yesterday, Nick Luck and Scott Hazelton. The one problem with the UK feed is, it's like a universal feed, and so one race will go off. They'll run the Ascot, and then they might have about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes of post race. Maybe if there's the final order to be determined among the horses that hit the board, the each way bets, and then they go to whatever. Then they move on. They move on to whatever, Stratford, for instance, today. And what else is running? Thirsk, Brighton and Beverly. I mean, they'll take you out to some country track with, where there's barely fences up. And then they'll bring you back to Ascot, about 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes ahead of the. So it's kind of a funny, video feed. So I'm sure on TVG as well, they'll stay with the international feed on a regular basis. But I'll pull the audio right from the Ascot feed. And we just got they just flashed for a second. There was a scratch. There was one scratch each, and I think the fifth and the sixth, so I'll watch for that. And also, we'll see if there's any other changes to alert to. All right? One of the things that happens most often is the declarations come, days in advance when they get a sort of a pre-entry, and then they decide and say they're running. That's when you get most of your scratches out. A couple of news items and such that we'll kind of weave in as the morning progresses. And I want to just send Case. Let me send you Vance in case. I guess we had him on. When did we talk to Vance last? Was it for Cheltenham? Probably for Cheltenham, I think. I don't know why. I'll ask him this when he joins us. I don't know why we necessarily save the visits with Vance Hansen just for the international, because his opinion is good really at any time. So there you go. There, Case. Go ahead and get a hold of Vance, and we'll start to talk about first couple of days of action. The news the news continues to be quite a bit more off the track than on. And I'm sure yesterday after we wrapped up later in the day, you saw the news that Bob Baffert and his legal team are going to challenge the NYRA suspension, ban, however you want to present the way NYRA has excluded Baffert for the period while they await how the Derby positive is handled. And I mean, that honestly, that this could drag on a while yet. So, you know, Baffert and his team, attorney Craig Robertson, you know, making the case that there's no legal authority, essentially, to keep him excluded, Baffert. So we'll see how this goes. Pat McKenna had a prepared statement simply saying that NYRA will vigorously defend the action that it's taken in this matter. NYRA took this action to protect the integrity of the sport for our fans, the betting public, and racing participants. And we'll see. The suit was filed in district court in the Eastern District, and we'll see how quickly there's a response. And speaking of some of the legal activities, we're going to have, if not today, tomorrow or maybe Thursday, early morning, Clark Brewster, who's representing Amer Zidane. Clark is going to join us and discuss the case from his perspective, and we'll look forward to it. And he feels that there's some things that need to be clarified and, you know, brought out in this discussion. There's also, and I'll get to this after we talk to Vance and after the Queen Anne, but the Jockey Guild has ended their insurance coverage for Monmouth riders, and this is a kind of an ugly, going to become a more ugly dispute. There's still plenty to figure out about what's gone on there. Right now, we're going to try to figure out the first couple of days of Royal Ascot from Vance Hansen's perspective from Brisnet and Twin Spires. Vance, good morning. Case, we got him. Vance, where are you? Can you not hear me? All right. Well, we'll give me the high sign, Case, when, you know, pick him up and see where we are. All right. Did you lose him? And meanwhile, I'll tell you that Palace Pier is not moving from 1-9, period. 1-9 on the Gosden favorite. And there we go. Now I can hear Vance. Vance, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. There we go.
Great.
All right. One of your favorite weeks of the year, and day kicks off with the three group ones.
Yeah, it's they almost kind of front load the meet here, like you said, three group one races, and the superstars are definitely come out for all three. I mean, you got the best milers, both older and 3-year-old colts, running today, and then you've got Sprint Stars going 5 furlongs. So it could arguably be called the best day of racing at Ascot throughout the 5 days. But of course, we've got a lot to look forward to the rest of the week as well.
Well, and we'll focus on today and tomorrow, and then we'll revisit on Wednesday to talk the second half, really, of the session. And, you know, one of the things that's different, I brought, I don't know if you had a chance to hear Nick Luck with me yesterday, Vance, but one of the things that's very different, the firm going, I mean, the authentically fast ground that horses are going to get, which is unusual, no?
It is. I think they've been in some type of heat wave there for the last half week or week over there. So, yeah, the ground should be pretty rattling today and tomorrow. Unfortunately, what's going to make my handicapping 2 days in advance a little cumbersome, they are predicting, you know, 80% plus chance of rain. Some system, I think, is coming in from France in advance of Thursday's card, and it's supposed to linger into Friday, so I'm going to have to try and play weatherman in addition to handicapper over the next couple of days, so that could change things in a hurry.
It's just unusual, and it's so funny to, you know, to hear and read some of the, you know, the commentary where the references to, you know, to firm going, you know, could work against, you know, some horses, the local horses, because it's usually, you know, the exact opposite. We're always worried, you know, sending our horses over when we look at the North American set, and Wesley Ward's prepared for, you know, virtually anything that's going to happen. But usually it's the exact opposite, where we're saying, well, we're kind of concerned that, you know, that our domestic products, will they like the going? They could very much like the going here the next these first 2 days.
They should, and actually, interestingly, the horse that my long shot tab in the St. James's Palace a little later today is actually one that hasn't enjoyed soft footing so far to date, so I'm hoping for a much better performance today on the fast ground that they've got going.
You know, while we got about 7-8 minutes, quickly, and we'll revisit it after the race, but who is it that I didn't want to reveal? I wanted to let you talk about your St. James push.
Well, I'll preface it by saying that the horse that really caught my eye during the European Guinea season last month was Godolphin's Master of the Seas, who was my top selection in the 2000 guineas, and unfortunately I took like the toughest beat of the year for me so far when he lost by head to Poetic Flair. I preface all this by mentioning Master of the Seas because it's a stablemate, La Barossa, who I thought was a bit overlooked today, and they met in their mutual season debut in the Craven Stakes at Newmarket, and La Barossa only lost by 3/4 of a length to Master of the Seas. Granted, Master of the Seas probably could have won by a bit more because he was stuck behind horses and in traffic, and it took him until about the last quarter mile to finally break through, and perhaps could have exerted more superiority over La Barossa. But with that piece of form, you know, me liking Master of the Seas, I thought La Barossa seemed a bit overvalued today. I think he's going to be around 20-1 possibly in this race. And La Barossa's run extremely well on firm to good ground, or good to firm ground, I should say, during his 5-race career. And his 2 only flops so far have been in France, which was contested on heavy ground last fall. And then last time in a rainstorm in the Irish 2000 Guineas, he just failed to take hold of the track, and trainer Charlie Appleby said he just couldn't gain any traction on that in a 6th-place finish. So with the ground the way it is today, at 20-1 staring at me, you know, seemingly wide-open race, I'm taking a shot with La Barossa.
I like it. And La Barossa, the 5 for everybody that wants to look ahead to the 4th today, the St. James Palace, the 3rd of the Group 1s. Actually, not only wearing the 5, but also leaving from the 5 barrier. Let's talk about this group in here. And Queen Anne now 5 minutes to post. And 1 to 5, I figured that Palace Pier would move off that 1 to 9. So right now, 1 to 5 with Frankie for Gosden. But it sure feels like there's people taking some shots. Everything I read, Vance, people said Palace Pier, yes, obvious, overwhelming, but. and that includes Kev, who's going to play around with the 7, Pogo, at 68-1.
Yeah, nobody likes to take 1 to 5 on any horse, and I gave a cursory glance to this race. I picked Palace Pier to win the St. James's Palace last year, and he came home a winner, and he's just basically done nothing wrong since then, except for losing a shoe in the QE2 last fall. He just seems a little too dominant over this group, in my opinion. I honestly couldn't tell you who the second best older miler in England is right now. This horse just seems to be standing head and shoulders above the group. And I think the only major concern I've read so far actually is coming from trainer John Gosden, who's not thrilled with the breaking from the far outside post 11 in here going the straight mile. So we'll see if that has any effect on it. But, I mean, just to me, this looked like a race to concede to Palace Pier. And I wasn't looking too closely to find a possible exacta to throw in with. I mean, you could probably throw in, you know, half a dozen and hope to get possibly a nice double-digit long shot to run second.
Well, and on that topic, I do want to ask you your thoughts. I was just kind of, rambling a little about the international pool and the difference this year with the Hong Kong host. And I used to basically juxtapose the tote that we had versus the marketplace that was available, you know, at Odds Checker. And I would look for disparity between, you know, the horses that seemed overlaid on the tote, and that I would take some flyers that way. Am I right thinking, Vance, that with this international pool, it'll be much more in line with the betting shops?
I would believe so, yes. You've got all the Hong Kong money and also various other jurisdictions around the world all combining into one pure mutual pool. And one thing you won't see, really, because they have this world pool and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the win place pools, for example, you're not going to see the strange odds fluctuations, you know, approaching the start of each race for sure. There's not, you know, a big wager isn't going to knock down the odds, you know, and affect the odds board as much as it did in the past, I believe.
Well, this board is not seeing much movement, and this is so crazy what they do. Vance, I was kind of laughing about how they show us, you know, right now they've got a split screen on the UK feed, and they're showing, you know, the 8th race at Fairview.
Yeah,
it's so crazy what they do.
Yeah, this is very irritating, you know, especially if they have a group race being run, you know, in England, and then they feel compelled to show a hurdle race in Ireland or, you know, a race in South Africa. It's just mind-boggling that nobody behind the control booth knows which race is more important than the other.
You would think that with all the focus on Ascot that, they did at least they are showing the winner 369 for those of you that played the 6th at Fairview. Now they're ready to go to to Royal Ascot. A quick rundown: Accidental Agent 59-1. You got Bless Him, Jamie Spencer and Simcock 34-1. Aidan O'Brien with Lope E. Fernandez, third in the Breeders' Cup. Simi Heffernan, 18-1. Lord Glitters, the veteran, 25-1. Tut Hope and O'Meara. Order of Australia, your Breeders' Cup mile winner, Ryan Moore, of course, and Aidan O'Brien, 8-1. Palace Pier, 1-5. Pogo, currently, look back, hold on. Pogo is 67-1, so has taken a little bit of money and has come down a couple of ticks. Now 65-1 and continuing to drop. Prince Aiji, Roger Varian, and Andre Atseni, 38-1. Regal Reality, Sir Michael, and Roger Kingscote, 37-1. Sir Busker won something in the recent past. O'Shane Murphy and William Knight, 31-1, and Top Rank, 22-1. So if it's not Palace Pier in here, Vance, it's going to be. It's here we go. Here we go. Here's the Queen Anne.
Sir Busker, the two greys, the Lord Glitters, the darker jacket, Top Rank in white and red, just preceding him. Then comes Accidental Agent, an orange cap towards the back of the field. And last of all is Bless Him, as they already move down to the final five furlongs of the Queen Anne. The yellow jacket of Prince IG and the green colours of Pogo stride along in front by around about two lengths. Might be a narrow third call for Palace Pier, his main market rival. Order of Australia, the purple cap, they are together in third and fourth places. The light blue of Regal Reality is next. Sir Busker, Lupi, Fernandez and Top Rank behind those are approaching the three market now. Still Bless Him in yellow and the orange cap of Accidental Agent towards the back of the field. Pogo in the green jacket, Kieran Schumacher and the IG, Prince IG, Andrew Tseni in the yellow, with now the silver jacket of Palace Pier nearest to us coming through to launch his challenge. He's being chased along though. Top Rank is there, Sir Busker putting in a big run nearest to us as well. They come to the furlong pole and now Palace Pier and Frankie Dettori have the advantage. Sir Busker and Lope Fernandez giving chase in second and third places. It's a two-length lead for Palace Pier. Races towards the line and Palace Pier is the winner of the Queen Anne. Lope Fernandez in second, Sir Busker, Lord Glitters, Pogo, Accidental Agent and Top Rank are the next ones home.
Well, favorite, very reliable in here, and about a length and change, it looks like. Vance and Lope E. Fernandez backs up support, going to be second in here, and then that's Sir Busker. Sir Busker, 30-1, O'Shane Murphy, third.
Yeah, it looked like Frankie had a lot of horse. Was just kind of waiting to pull the trigger there in the last furlong or so. And like you said, Lope ran a very good race, one of his best races of his career. So good vibes for both of them going forward the rest of the year.
6-3-10 and Lord Glitters. Lord Glitters hits his share of boards. And 6-3-10-4 to start things off in the Queen Anne. So There really was no beating Palace Pier, and I suppose, you know, this is a win and you're in, right? This has the benefit of the Breeders' Cup Mile to it, and
it does,
right? So this is a horse that could show up.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, this is a you're exactly right. This is a win and you're in. I'm not sure if Gosden will send this horse over here for Del Mar or not. I know he loves the Breeders' Cup and loves to support it. I'll have to listen to him more to whether he thinks a track like Del Mar, which he's very familiar with, would be suitable for this horse. But undoubtedly, he would be close to an odds-on favorite if he did show up.
Well, it doesn't take long for Frankie Dettori to score. Was it last year where he got off to a slow start the first couple of days, right?
I believe so, and then he really fired him on all cylinders at the end of the week. So, yeah, when the day comes that he's finally hangs up his tack, it's going to be a rough day for English Racing, Royal Ascot, and Racing Worldwide. He's just been a marvelous representative for the sport.
You know, and I'm just looking at some Queen Anne stats, and you know, for those that haven't seen at Twin Spires, you've got a terrific, you know, 15, 18 page compendium with Kelly Riley and Vance and Keeler Johnson all contributing. And, you know, there's Lord Glitters from 2 years ago who won and comes back here and, you know, gets a minor share. Yeah, this really has had its share of great winners, going back to Frankel, a declaration of war, Toronado, Tepin, of course, which was that was special, Ribchester, accidental agent who ran here, right? I didn't really hear much of a call for accidental agent winner 3 years ago. And then Lord Glitters and Circus Maximus. So this is this has always been a big kickoff and a bellwether for the best the best of the division.
It has, and you mentioned Lord Glitters and Accidental Agent, a couple of long shot horses that are a little bit tough to find, I guess, in the last few years, but now Palace Pier has put the form right and won pretty convincingly at a short price.
And I'm just going back to Palace Pier. And let me turn down now you're getting some background music. Has won. Wow. You fold in this with the Lockinge at Newbury, and I'm just looking at Group 1's Vance, won the Prix Limerois in August at DeVille, and of course the St. James last year. So 1, 2, 3, this is his fourth Group 1, and he also won the Sandown Mile to start the season in April at Sandown.
I know a lot of pundits and other people have been kind of itching to have John Gosden stretch this horse out to a mile and a quarter at some point this year, and I saw a quote from him yesterday saying he's definitely not in a hurry to try and do that. I mean, he could consider that down the road, whether it's the Judmont International, perhaps a race like that, but I could easily see this horse trying to go probably to the Sussex at Goodwood next. We'll see.
Well, formful start to Royal Ascot, and now we'll look forward to the Coventry and talk a little bit, Vance, about your approach to the baby races when it comes to Royal Ascot.
Well, the first thing I always do is a little pedigree research at Brisnet and try and find horses that possibly had relatives that performed well at Royal Ascot. I think that's always been a good angle for me in previous years, relatives that won 5-6 furlong group races early on. And then from there, it's just basically kind of looking at the video formwork of their previous races, and thankfully I don't have to look at too many typically for each horse. They've only run 2-3 times at most, so it's very extensive, and it's kind of, when I'm looking at a race, I'm trying to get a hold of them. It's kind of hard to explain, and Kelly Riley is sometimes amazed at how I can pull certain 2-year-olds out of the hat like I sometimes do, but just if a horse visually sparks my eye and takes an interest, then I'll definitely mark it down, and whether the horse is 7-2, 20-1, it doesn't matter to me. If one of their previous efforts on the video kind of gets to me and catches my eye, I'll definitely consider it in a race at Ascot, no matter how difficult it kind of looks on paper for it.
Yeah, one of the things that you sort of just pick things up a little bit by osmosis too when it comes to this stand, and it's been, I guess, the last couple of years where Kodiak, the sons and daughters of Kodiak, have been splashy, right? That's been, in fact, Rusty Arnold's filly is by Kodiak.
Yeah, and I'm for sure. I know I picked a Kodiak on top and came out a winner sometime in the last few years.
Yes,
yeah, that's definitely a sire to keep your eye on. They're very precocious, those ones.
Well, and just looking ahead, in fact, to beyond the race with Rusty, which kicks things off tomorrow, the Queen Mary. There's also, I think, the Windsor Castle tomorrow as well, where Wesley basically spread his players out pretty much everywhere, right? I mean, he's got Golden Bell in here, the Macho Uno filly. And he's got Ruthin as well, a rib jester.
Yeah, I guess I have to admit that my approach in recent years with two-year-olds, especially if Wesley Ward is having a strongly backed American shipper in there, is I almost invariably want to try and beat him. And that's typically worked out parametral-wise. Now there are some that I kind of overlook and regrettably and look back after the fact and wish I had, placed a little higher in my ranking. But, Ward obviously very successful, but you also have to pay attention to, the value you're getting on those horses, and typically they're not there. So that's almost been like kind of my automatic thing to do, is try and beat the Wesley Ward horses in the juvenile races to the best ability, best I can.
Yeah, and I can understand the... Considering everybody was trying to beat a one to five, so you think about what Wesley, his horses have been well backed. One thing that's amazing, Vance, about what has transpired since the time that Wesley Ward started to bring horses over, and it obviously drew tremendous attention and interest from the American player and fan base. Tepin's exploit, of course, contributes, and the Grand Motion as well. But it's amazing how quickly the international betting crowd, that they also latched on. The respect was came pretty quickly.
It did. I became much more interested in European racing, 20 years ago, and those races actually started becoming available to watch, on simulcasting and ADWs. And when I was working at the Racing Form, we would get actual print editions of the Racing Post like a week late, and I was the only one in the office interested in them. And so I would kind of look back at them and devour them, and it made it possible to follow the goings on in Europe a lot more closely. And but then once American, like you said, once American horsemen started targeting this meet, especially Wesley Ward, it just brought one of the great festivals in England to greater focus to American audiences. And the great thing is that television has seen the value in the rise in interest in Royal Ascot and other meets. And so it's just a wonderful development to see these major races being broadcast on American television as well.
Looking, let's look ahead to the second here and see if prices usually take about 10 minutes typically to come in, and they're up 240 on Palace Pier, Lope y Fernandez 560 and Sir Busker 760. And let's see, in terms of the best mutuals, well, you got, I tell you, the try, if you got Sir Busker involved underneath, you did okay. 79.20 for the $2 try, 39.60 for a buck. And even the swinger, Lope Fernandez, how about that? In the Omni, Vance, Lope Fernandez and Sir Busker paid 30.20.
Not bad at all. Just, that's a wager American audiences just aren't used to seeing and aren't familiar with. But if you have an opinion like that, yeah, you can get paid in that for sure.
For those that that are seeing it, I saw some questions last night online, and the swinger, also known as an Omni, hooking up all combinations of the horses that finish first, second, and third. So you can bet first, second, like an exacta. You can bet first, third, and you get to bet second and third. And that ended up being the value. If you keyed off of Lope E. Fernandez, that's a nice number, actually, 30-20. And, there was a period of time, Vance, where it looked like this bet was going to make it to the U.S. NYRA sent rules to the, at the time, the Racing and Wagering Board to get approved, and then really didn't act on it. But Andy Serling, I always bring this up, Andy had the greatest name for it ever, the Inexacta.
What was that again?
The Inexacta.
The Inexacta.
Inexact, yeah, the Inexacta.
That is perfect.
Because, first and third, second and third. And I'll tell you, I've made the point, much like the Grand Slam, which does have its backers as an introduction, as a easy introduction to pick fours, essentially, which is what Bill Nader, when he conceived it and introduced it, the idea was, let's create a easier to win pick four to get people, wade them into multi-race wagering. That was the concept. And much like that concept, bringing the Omni Swinger to the U.S. would be really good, because I can tell you, as somebody, dating and marrying a mutual clerk, Tina said that when people would bet exactas, and particularly finish first and third, they didn't understand why they didn't get paid. Neophyte bettors, would get frustrated, and you never want, I've said this before about a couple of different issues when it comes to the tote board. You don't want anybody to punch a ticket and feel like somehow they got cheated. Yes, they didn't win and they didn't finish first and second. But if you had this as an introductory bet to doubles and to exacta wagering, it would be a softer entree, I would think.
Yeah, especially into the world of exotic betting, for sure. And like you said, something can go wrong in a race. You could get nosed out for second and not cash at all. Here's your chance to cash more tickets, presumably, if your opinion is almost right but not quite. And not only is that a good idea, but, one that I've been kind of complaining about in terms of Royal Ascot for the last few years is the lack of multi-race wagers available at Royal Ascot. I know they experimented with the Pick Four a few years ago, and which I thought was just a tremendous idea. And if I had just bet a little smarter, I could have taken down one pool, I think, for myself for about 40 grand, but messed that up. But that's one thing I think that would make the Royal Ascot product even better, is if they offered doubles, pick three, pick four, at least on the group races each day. I think it's just a tremendous opportunity, especially for folks like us who follow racing a little bit more than others over there, and it would just give us another option to make a huge score on this type of week.
Agreed, and particularly now with these pools that have been, a wider array of tote from around the globe. Let's look at this Coventry Stakes, and then I want you to touch on again on your St. James play. And I just looked it up. It looks like right now trading between 16 and 20 to 1. So we'll come back to that in a minute. And then you can also offer up tomorrow's Vance Hansen play of the day. But let's look at the Coventry first and foremost, where Coffee Maker, the first of Wesley's runners, 7 to 1 right now. And that when I mentioned that the Irish Racing.com had said that she was drifting, absolutely floating up and coming down in price. Aidan O'Brien with the Acropolis. This is the Churchill colt with Ryan Moore, currently 4-1. Gisburn, Richard Hannon, 5-1, second choice. And then Dabab for Gosden, 7-1. So essentially, Coffee Maker has floated up from the 5-2 morning line and is basically fourth choice right now.
Yeah, I know Wesley's two-year-old, some of them have had trouble staying the distance in a number of these races.
Six
over the
furlongs,
years.
Right.
I know he's lost a lot of five furlong races, and, you know, this filly, you know, broke her maiden at Keeneland going 4.5. She faces six today, so they might be of the mindset that, you know, she's good, she's competitive here, but, you know, she just might not last against this group. And the Acropolis, Aidan O'Brien's horse, has already won over 6.5, so it's not going to be too big of a step for him, obviously, to go down a little bit compared to the Coffee Maker going up in distance.
Well, and for those that listened in yesterday with Kev, let me turn my page. He had interest in the Acropolis as well as Gisburn, but not with both of these, you know, taking as much money. It's actually the Gisburn was a horse that that Nick Luck thought had some appeal. The other price that Kev was interested in was Berkshire Shadow, and he said about 12-1, and 12-1 is holding right now. You get O'Shane Murphy, Andrew Balding here, and Berkshire Shadow, kind of a mid-priced, about the call it the sixth, looks like sixth or seventh. Masetto is a horse that drifted up too. This is Donica O'Brien, and had been 5-1 morning line, but has doubled in price right now, 11-1. And what I should do too, Vance, is let's look at and check that marketplace. Let's look at the odds checker numbers and see where the bookie shops are and see if it's in line. Gisburn and Dabab are essentially co-favorites in the shops, then the Acropolis, and then Coffee Maker. So pretty close.
Yep.
Although, I'll tell you, on the international tote, the Acropolis is 4-1 and is trading more like 6.5-1 in the shops. So a little underlaid on the international tote. Coffee Maker right in line at 7-1. Masetto is fifth choice at about 8-9-1. So the tote is a little bit higher. Let's look at Berkshire Shadow. 11-1 in the shops. So in line with the tote. So kind of as we speculated, not a lot of difference. That used to be, that was my secret for years, Vance. When it came to Dubai, and you know, I'd look at what the shops were doing, and then what that segregated pool was doing, and there'd be some great value shopping prices that way.
Just as things are going good for you, they take it away. It kind of always happens, right?
Well, as if it hasn't gotten harder and harder to win. In general, just, you know, there's so many things that, you know, continue to, you know, make it tough. I mean, we talk about this, you know, on the domestic side and just, you know, the Monday through Sunday racing. And, you know, there's so much more information at everybody's disposal. And, then you got to deal with, the computer assisted wagering money. Leveling out value, taking, you know, sapping value from the exotics and now even the multis to some degree, they've managed to infiltrate. So it's hard. It's not easy to make money. You gotta take every edge you can get.
Yeah, if you stretch that thought out a little more, Royal Ascot this week is kind of one of those opportunities during the year that if you follow racing in Europe a little more closely than a lot of players around the world, you might have a, you know, you can certainly get that edge in your knowledge and your opinions on this if you follow it closely enough. So there's that.
Absolute. And kind of going back and forth, and well, and yeah, we're about 8 minutes, 9 minutes away, and we they're back at Fairview. Do we even know?
Can't miss that one.
Vance, this isn't even a track that I've even seen before. Fairview. It looks like they've got like a fiber sand, some sort of a synthetic. Is that sort of a synthetic surface?
Yeah, if it's on that kind of surface, I'm guessing it's the off season in South Africa, where obviously most of their biggest races are on grass, just like in Europe. So, yeah, it's definitely not top tier.
Port Elizabeth, South Africa, for those that are curious. And it looks like a pretty little country course. And this is a new one for us, to be honest. I haven't seen before. They're getting ready for their seventh race as we await the second from Royal Ascot and Coventry Stakes, the first U.S. runner, the Jimmy Creed Filly, out of Heaven's Touch, coffee maker for Wesley Ward and Johnny V. And Johnny's got mounts all week. Let's go ahead as well, Vance, to again and reiterate your play, La Barossa, the 5, in the St. James. And about 16-1. How about tomorrow? Which is your interest? Your price play tomorrow?
That comes in the third race tomorrow. The Duke of Cambridge fillies and mares going the straight mile. A lot of these fillies are pretty well established. We know how good they are. We know how good they aren't are, or they aren't. And one filly I think that has a little bit more progression to her possibly is number 13, Valeria Messalina, who is number 13 tomorrow, breaks from post 9. She didn't show up at all in her season debut at the Curra, which was on the Irish 2000 Guineas card that got inundated with rain. Just didn't pick up at all, and I'm kind of chalking that up possibly to her not liking the ground there. She has a terrific piece of form last summer at Goodwood in the Oak Tree Stakes. She narrowly lost to One Master, who we all know was a huge 7-furlong specialist, 3-time winner of the Prix de la Forêt at Longchamp. And, you know, to just get within a head of beating One Master at her own game was a terrific effort on her part. And finishing third in that Oak Tree Stakes was Althika, who we all know came back and won just a game on the Belmont undercard. So that race has really panned out well. And like La Barossa, Valerina Messalina is, you know, trading 15-20-1 tomorrow. If she can bounce back to her best form and improve a little bit, she's worth a play at the odds for me.
Coming out of a seasonal debut about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks ago at Curra, and that looks like it was strictly a prep for this.
Yeah, and even before the race, I saw quotes from her trainer, Jessica Harrington, said she wouldn't want it too soft. And then, of course, the race before was the 2,000 Guineas when they were just kind of lost in a fog and a haze of driving rain. So no question, she probably didn't like the surface that much in her season debut. And obviously it was a little short as well. You have to give them a race sometimes. She won a Group 3 second time off the layoff last summer. So I'm hoping for a much better performance at a nice price tomorrow.
Let's take a look, actually, and I'm going to go back to Odds Checker. 15-1 morning line, but let's look on the Wednesday card, and this is the third, right? The Duke of Cambridge. And
yep.
Lady Beauthorpe and Queen Power, Onassis, all taking the money. Right about there, 14. As the lowest number is 14-1, widely being offered at 16-1, and at Bet365, actually, your best price, 18-1. So it feels like Valeria Messalina and the 13 on the saddlecloth, but leaving from the 9 post in the Duke of Cambridge. Group 2, they're going to go the mile. It's a Holy Roman Emperor filly, an Irish bred. And that's a clever... The Valeria part, I'm not... Messalina was Claudius's wife. I'm going to have to look up the Valeria part.
Yeah, when I was doing a Google search yesterday on this filly, I think I did come across her namesake, but I just didn't have the time to read more about it. But it's somebody famous or somebody notable.
Well, let's see here. It is Messalina, who was Claudius's wife, third wife. For those of you that Roman history, or for those that. Yeah. Enjoyed I, Claudius, which is about as great a use of television as there ever was. Before Game of Thrones, there was I, Claudius.
That's true. Well, the British know how to do their miniseries, that's for sure. And I've heard of I, Claudius for years. I've never sat down to watch it. But since you have such a high recommendation, I will try and get that out of the way one of these days.
Absolutely. You will absolutely love it. It is tremendous, and I imagine it's. I haven't looked at something like for on demand, but it is wonderful. So
they have a thing called BritBox, which is a streaming service. It takes the best of television from BBC and ITV over the years, so it could be on that. So.
Well, I for those that want to see Derek Jacobi, much younger, but made to look older, he ages through. It's great. It is just terrific. And he's made a whole career of playing Roman senators and emperors. That Derek Jacobi. That I every time I look up, there's Derek Jacobi playing a similar kind of a character. Looking at. A couple of minutes out here, and Vance Hansen's been nice enough to kick off the coverage from Royal Ascot, and he's coming to you from Kentucky. But currently, looks like the Acropolis 9-2. This market's tightened. Gisburn is 5-1 for Hannon, and 6-1. Coffee Makers come down a tick for Wesley and Johnny V. And also in single digits, Ebro River has taken money, Vance. The Hugo Palmer for Al Shakab has come down to 9-1 with James Doyle. Dabab has actually floated up from being co-favorite now as 7-1, so took some earlier money. And Berkshire Shadow that Kev fancies is going to hold steady around 11-1. And... he also, Kev did mention Vintage Clarets that could be another option at a price. And let me see where Vintage Clarets is, because I haven't seen, that's one I haven't offered. 31-1 for the Fahey charge with Paul Hannigan. So if you're looking for a big price to hook up with Wesley or with any of the favorites, there it is. They're loading up, and we'll take this one. And let me, Casey. I think I got the mic better positioned now. So get ready. Here we go. Coventry. They got a handful.
Next up is Katsura going to store number 13, and then Gisburn. Has stalls 7, Angel Blur, who's 2 doors away, 9 is waiting to go forward. And Tolstoy, who's due to 5 near to the stalls as well. Angel Blair is in. Tolstoy moving forward to 5, goes up. Coffee Maker takes her position in 3. Masito's gone forward into 10. Golden War near the stalls. Prominent White Face going to 8. The Acropolis just going forward to 4. The Organizer waiting to go to 6. And the Gatekeeper to 12. Stalls Blanket on Ebro River. Berkshire Shadow and Vintage Clarets are behind the stalls as well. The last 3 or 4 for this year's running of the Coventry Stakes. Berkshire Shadow in the red going forward to stall number 17. That's nearest the grandstand. Next door will be Vintage Clarets. And Paul Hannigan, maroon and light blue. Ebro River and the Silver Jacket furthest from the stands. Gone forward into stall number 1 with James Doyle. They're off. A race away, fairly even break as they get away. The Coffee Maker is one of the first of the runners away. Gisborne in a prominent position. Also the Gatekeeper. The Organizer's up there as well. Katura in yellow. Vintage Clarets nearest to us. The Acropolis, Ebro River and Angel Blair in prominent positions. Tolstoy out the back early on with Eldrick Jones. On the extreme right is Berkshire Shadow in the red colors. With this as well is Secret Strength towards the back of the field. But they're already heading down to half way. Coffee Maker, the blue, the lighter blue on the left is the Organizer. Gisburn with those, and then comes the Gatekeeper in a light blue jacket. Angel Blur in the center. Dababi about 5 from the right, a yellow cap on a light blue jacket. Ebro River and Tolstoy, the Acropolis all over on the extreme left. Vintage Clarets nearest the grandstand side running well, with Katura also getting into it, but they head down towards the furlong pole. This is wide open. Ebro River in a silver jacket coming through with the Acropolis. Vintage Clarets nearest to us. Katura's there. Berkshire Shadow in the red and white flying home as well. Masetto in the centre, but it's Berkshire Shadow and Ashim Murphy have won. Eldrick Jones might have got second position to Vintage Clarets. Masetto behind those. Then Ebro River and Dibab.
There it is, right away, second race of the Royal Ascot season, and the long shot lad, he's done it again. Berkshire Shadow, O'Shane Murphy and Andrew Balding.
Excellent pick by Kev in that race, so I'm glad he's getting paid right off the bat. It's a good start.
Well, and because it, you know, it does at this stand, you kind of expect when you're playing prices, you know, you know you're going to get them, and certainly Kev over the years with us has been remarkable, but to get, you know, this one home at probably 11-12 to 1. I didn't see the final number, and I'm just looking to see who else rounds out the. About 3 or 4 in from the rail, from the near side, and I couldn't catch for a minute. It looked like Tolstoy with the Tory was going to hit the board, and I think it might have been swamped. And you know, once again, Vance, Wesley's horses, the 6 furlongs seems to be a bugaboo.
Yeah, it definitely did look like the case in this. She looked like she came under pressure right around that 4.5 furlong mark, and she steadily dropped back. So, yeah, and I suppose the market was kind of reflecting that caution that people might have had for her going into this race. They weren't willing to take a short price on that filly stretching out like that. So, yeah, something to keep in mind, but we'll see how his other horses here this week when they're running at probably more optimum distances.
Well, and now here's the photos. Took them a couple of seconds to separate, and they still have not. They flashed it up for a second, so I can't give you the.
I think I heard the 7. Eldrick Jones ran second at 56-1.
How about that? And, 2-7.
Yep. Yeah,
vintage Clarets. Yep. There's vintage Clarets. 2-7-16-10. 2-7-16-10. And anybody that keyed with Kev off of Berkshire Shadow is going to be happy. Eldrick Jones, 56-1 with Danny Tudhope. Vintage Clarets came down to 25-1. And Masetto was 6-1. So, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. The top three are going to produce. You're going to have a tremendous try in here, and you're going to have terrific numbers back in the swingers as well. So, nice job, Kev. Unbelievable. And I hope plenty of people came along. Well, Vance, thank you for coming along to give us a terrific start to the day and to the stand. And we'll check back with you on Wednesday to get the Thursday, Friday, Saturday ideas.
Very good. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Vance Hansen, everybody, and spending a terrific 45 with us to kick off the coverage. Let's do this. Let's break here. And as I mentioned, there was plenty of news, and there's also plenty of other things to talk about, including the Affirmed on Saturday, going to get Eric Krulejack to join us after this. We'll come back and talk to Eric about the Chosen Vron, which, you know, has become a terrific story. More than just a nice cowbred. Eric Krulejack's going to join us next, and we still have got two more today to enjoy from Royal Ascot. The King's Stand with the more than just Wesley. We've got Extravagant Kid trying for a unprecedented Alquaz Sprint King Stand double. Unprecedented, at least for a North American-based horse. And then the St. James. So well underway. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents